If you would turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 5 and stand with me, if you are able. It's been a blessing to get to know the LaRoses. It's been a fun time and encouraging just to see a family serving the Lord and that me and my wife can interact with and just be a part. They've welcomed us like family and taken care of us. It's just been a blessing. We're going to be in verse 21, Ephesians 5 and verse 21. And it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I can speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and wife, see that she reverence her husband. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you for the time that we could spend in your house this morning and this evening. Lord, I just ask now that you just bless this message, God. I ask that you speak through me, Lord, and not me. Speak my own words, God, but you fill me with your Holy Spirit and to communicate your truth, Lord, and not what I think, but what you say, God. Lord, I ask that you calm my nerves and just help me to just communicate your word clearly, Lord. I ask that you bless the rest of the night together, Lord, that we might honor and glorify you and have a good fellowship afterwards, Lord. So I pray. Amen. You may be seated. This passage is strictly talking about marriage, and some of you have been married a lot longer than I have. Me and my wife just celebrated our first year anniversary last month, and you might think, you know, you don't have very much experience and you don't have enough wisdom to preach on marriage. But the nice thing and one of my favorite things about the Bible and my favorite things, to be honest, about preaching that God really taught me is it doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter your experience, but the fact is you say what he has said and what he has already written down, because that's all that matters anyways. Too many times people try to put their own thoughts into the Bible, and I'm thankful for a place like Heartland Baptist Bible College that taught me the difference of just saying what you have to say and making sure you repeat what God has already said in his word and not taking things out of context and such like. Unfortunately, the world has twisted so much of love and marriage, of what they call love and marriage. We hear corresponding words such as submission and following and different things like that, and we kind of tense up. We hear about leading and how we're supposed to love, and we don't like those words. The world has demonized them. They've tried to tear down the family especially in this country for the past 50 years. They've set against us, against the family, and demonizing what God has called the family. There's people that are angry and bitter and hateful towards their spouse. Men hate women, women hate men. They don't want to submit. Women don't want to submit to men. Men don't want to love women as they're supposed to. We've watched as through the time for the past 50 years, the divorce rate rise to 50%. And then we slowly watched it dip, but not for the right reason, not for spouses being faithful, spouses being loving, spouses taking care of each other, but from the fact that the immorality had taken over and people were skipping marriage altogether so they could leave whenever they wanted to leave and stay as long as they wanted to stay. Even the government has got to a place where it's supporting single-parent households more than it is supporting the co-parenting of two parents in one household. But the truth is, the problem that we have with men and women and all this, and all the problems that come along with this, is addressed right here in Ephesians 5. Paul had the same problem. Paul was writing to Ephesians believers that were mostly Gentile. They were people that were in a culture that were surrounded by people that just did whatever they wanted to do. It was reflected in their god and goddesses. You could see it just was to satisfy their flesh and their own appetites, what they wanted to do. But this is not what God had intended. The Romans had forms of marriage. There was more of a there were some that were some more of a ceremony like we would have today. But then there was also what we would call common law of marriage today, where if two Roman citizens, a man and a woman, would just live together for a year, in the Romans' eyes, they were married, which is not right. But there's also, it was getting so bad, even also the Jews weren't exempt from this either. God's chosen people, the ones that should have been the example for the family of how God intended it to be, they've gotten to a point where there's even, where divorce was so easy that even it came to a point, there's stories of people just divorcing the wives because they burned dinner. And that's not right. It's not loving. It's not what God had intended. God had a specific role for the family. And God intended, and how marriage God intended, Paul penned down by the leading of the Holy Spirit. It was instructions for these Gentile believers on how to live in a culture that was so against them. They would have been mocked. They would have been made fun of, not understanding the culture, not understanding what God had intended. But Paul wanted to make sure it was clear of what God had said in his word. Paul here starts with wives. It's not that he's picking on the wives, and not that they're first in line, but simply how God had intended him to write it. He starts with, as we look in verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything." The word submission here is defined as a voluntary attitude of giving in and cooperating. Wives need to have a cooperative spirit in their marriage, not just by doing what is told to them, but not just doing, let me back that up, sorry. They need to do what is asked, but not with a bitter spirit. Because if it's with a bitter spirit, then it's not what God had intended. It needs to be cooperating, not a weight to be holding down with the progress that's trying to be made in the family, but a running with that should be helping the family be pushed along. But the verse here isn't just talking about wives being submitted to all men, but it's their own husbands. Not God did not ask women to be subject to men across the board, but rather to have a man that they are asked to follow in a husband. This does not mean that there cannot be times that men have authority and are followed by women. An example would be even Brother Tad asking for people to work in nursery and work in children's church. There's ladies, because thankfully I don't have to work with the babies at Southwest. There's other ladies that do it. Brother Jason has set up, asked people, women, to take care of the kids because they're better, a lot better at it than men. I can guarantee you that. So, but it's an attitude of servitude, not of submission. Women are supposed to be submitted to their husband and their husband alone. Paul begins in this also in this passage to use the analogy of Christ and the church to represent marriage. Wives need to follow their husband as the church follows Christ. When marriage is in perfect harmony, it is a great example of how God has set up the church. For the church is to follow after him as he leads, but when there is not harmony in the home, where there is always fighting, strife, and anger, and an unsubmissive spirit, we break that picture. We all have seen churches that have liberal views of unsocial drinking, no standards, no right way of living, just live however you want and you're saved. But that's not what the Bible says, and that leaves a bad taste in our mouth, and it leaves a bad taste in the world's mouth whenever they see churches like that. We're disappointed in churches like that. Well, so is whenever the home isn't as it should be, whenever it's not working as it should be, as when wives aren't submissive and husbands, as we'll get to later down, aren't loving. So when there's an unsubmissive spirit, there's a lack of unity and a lack of the picture that God has set up for the marriage to represent his him in this church. And I'm not saying wives need to be doormats. I'm not saying that there's no communication. I don't believe that. I don't think that's what God's word says. They don't need to be a doormat just to be told what to do, but rather, if we are truly to have the relationship of the church to God, well, Brother Tad was talking about this morning. The church prayed. Peter was stuck in prison. They prayed and they prayed. There was communication with God, but I doubt they were disrespectful or mean-spirited or hateful and condescending, but rather hopeful and seeking help. Because we all have questions about things. We have requests. We ask for help. So there should be open communication with husband and wife. There shouldn't be just one-sided conversation. It's not how God intended it to be. The less we talk, the more problems that will become apparent. And husbands, we have a job and a responsibility to our wives to love them. Husband's role in marriage, as Paul puts in the next couple of verses, if we read in verses 25 and following, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We stop and think for a minute what that truly means, what that truly entails, because sometimes and I'm guilty as anybody in this. God calling me to this passage, I really wrestled with it, to be completely honest with you, to talk about marriage when I'm only one first year into my marriage, and Brother Tad's been married for years, and there's here those in here that have been married more than 20 plus years. But God really settled in my heart and helped me understand the responsibility I have as a husband. Because how did Christ love the church? Well, Christ loved it unconditionally. He never set goals for us to hit for him to love him. I was witnessing with Brother Tad yesterday, and as he was leading those men to the Lord, he was talking about the gift of salvation. It's not, you have to work for this. And I heard him explain, God didn't ask you to do these good things so you can show up to heaven and saying, you know, look at me and look what I did. But it's because his love, that he loved us so much that he sent his son and sacrificed his son so that because he loved us unconditionally. And as we see that here throughout the entire Bible, we have to also apply that to ourselves if we're going to be the right husbands we're going to be. He also loved sacrificially. Jesus came and died for the sins of the whole world. He gave everything he had while he was here on this earth. He gave his time to the sick and the dying, the woman with the issue of blood and the blind man come to mind. He had compassion for the woman at the well, and Zacchaeus are a couple examples. And at the end of it all, Jesus gave of his very life. But he didn't just stop there. He also loved continuously. Jesus did not love us on the cross, but even after he arose. He gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to convict us when we are doing wrong. He gave us his word to show how to do right and live right. So as the Bible says, husbands need to love their wives as Christ loves his church. This is the mindset we need to have as a husband, and it's not to be served, but rather to serve. To be quite honest with you, and again, I'm young, but I also have great examples of my parents. As I grew up, God had given me one of the greatest blessings of my life, and watching my parents simply raise us kids. They're human, yes. There was times of tension, yes. But there was never a moment that I ever looked at my dad and looked at my mom and never saw that he did not love her and that she never did not respect him. Was there disagreements? Of course. But as I grew and I started to become a young man, to see that example was powerful. To see my dad walk the best thing he could to what the word of God had said to him was the greatest teaching moment in my life. It taught me what a man was. And I know not everybody had that privilege, and I know not everybody had that great of an example. But if I could just have a raise of hands, how many of you have been married more than 30 years? 20 years? Okay. So you might say, and kids in here, and I know a lot of you have your parents here, and it's a Sunday night, and you all have good parents, have you in church. But it doesn't negate that there's also wisdom and a multitude of counselors. And you can look around at these that have been married 30 years and 20 years and see how, because they didn't do it by accident. They didn't, there's no, you can't accidentally do marriage God's way. Brother Jason, my home pastor, always says your heart's either going towards God or going away from God. Your heart's never in neutral. So if that is the case, you're either actively trying to have a godly marriage or you're actively having a worldly marriage. And when those, you have to choose each and every day what you're going to have. An example also from our passage, or example I have in lining with our passage. How many of the men ate lunch today? Hey, amen. I had an amazing meal by Miss LaGrosse. They fed us today and it was delicious. Well, if we all had lunch today, then we all fed ourselves because we were hungry, right? Well, I don't know that I've ever been to a place where I go, man, I am so upset with myself. I'm not doing right. I'm not doing this. I'm not performing how I should be. I'm not being the man I'm supposed to be, and not just not eat because I'm mad at myself. I don't provide for myself. I don't sustain myself because I'm upset with myself. Sometimes, unfortunately, it's more the opposite. But we always take care of, especially men, when we're hungry, we want to find something and want to find something quick. But then why is it when we're one flesh with our wife, we starve her of the love she deserves and take away from what she needs and what she needs to be a better wife? Because God has set us up to be the leaders of the home. And unfortunately, many of the reasons the home has deteriorated is because not only has the world tried to attack it and Satan tried to attack it, but we also gave up ground. Men did not decide to do what they were supposed to do and chose to the easy way out and just either left or didn't do what they were supposed to in their marriage. All this, though, all of it comes down to one simple word: sacrifice. Marriage will not work unless we give of ourselves. It is the first, and all this comes back to this first verse we read. In verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That word of submission, it may not be the same for one gender or the other, because God has specifically set up the man to be the head of the house and the leader. But it does not mean he doesn't submit his will, his wants. There will be times where he knows what is right in life. God has led him to do this, and it might not be the wife's favorite thing to do, but he has to just follow what God said so that he can lead his family in a godly manner. But it doesn't mean that you always choose where the restaurant is. Sometimes it's okay to go to McDonald's instead of Burger King, as I've heard it. Because sometimes you will have disagreements and about little things, the things that aren't—they're important to you at in the moment, but they're not life-altering. They're not sin. They're not disobedience. I want to go to Burger King, but she wants to go to McDonald's. Your goal as a husband: submit yourself. Always defer. That's what love is: deferring to the other. It doesn't come naturally for all of us. To be honest, it doesn't come naturally for any of us. Men don't want to love and women don't want to respect. But if we want a successful and happy marriage, it's going to be following God's model for marriage. It will not be easy. It will not always be fun, and rarely will it be fair. But life is not about easy, fun, and fair, but rather it is what is right before God. And the secret too, you're going to have a lot of fun and a lot of joy, and a lot of happiness along the way when you do marriage God's way. And I'm sure there are many testimonies in this room, I can guarantee it, of things God has done, God has provided. God's already provided me and my wife's life. I couldn't imagine being married for 30 years and seeing him work all along the way. It overwhelms me to think about. Matthew Henry said this, "The love which God requires from the husband in behalf of his wife will make amends for the subjection which God demands from her to her husband. And the prescribed subjection of the wife will be an abundant return for that love of the husband which God has made her do." See, what that's saying is, when a husband is as loving as he's supposed to be, when you're doing the self-sacrificing, self-sacrificing, loving thing to your wife, loving her, taking care of her needs, helping her when she's down, when she's sad, when she's just having a bad day, when she's not what she's supposed to be, and you come alongside her and comfort her and love her and help her be what God wants her to be, then that respect will be so much easier. And I read a book in college that changed my perspective on not just marriage per se, or even dating, to be quite honest with you, but even my perception of interaction with male and female. It's called Love and Respect. And it's there's a lot of marriage books out there, but this one really helped because it tells both sides. A man and his wife wrote it, and it was seeing the woman's side and the man's side at the same time. And it really helped me see that how women need to be loved makes it so much easier for men to be respected. In the book, they call it the energizing cycle. When a man loves his wife, she's respectful. She feels loved and she's respectful, and the man feels loved. And though men, you should always start that cycle, no matter what, because God, remember, you're the leader. You're the one that's supposed to be taking care of your family. So even when things go awry, you should be the one to start it. But wives, you don't just have to not just sit by and watch your marriage have a hard time and be in disarray. You can start that cycle too. Maybe be respectful when he's not being loving. Because we all have our bad days. And maybe you're here tonight, you might say, my spouse is not good at being loving or respectful, or maybe you understand yourself enough and you say, I'm not good at being the spouse I'm supposed to be. How do I fix that? Well, Brother Tad talked a bit, like I said at the beginning of the message, quite a bit about it this morning. You need to be in God's Word. And these sound simple, but whenever you see God's love for you, it'll be easier to love your wife. And you can, when you see God sacrifice himself, it's easier to support your husband and respect him and see that God has placed him in your life for a purpose. So we need to make sure we're in God's Word. Second, we need to make sure we are in constant prayer with God. We need to have that communication with God. We need to make sure we're seeing where our own faults are, not just the faults of others and the faults of our spouse. Because sometimes that's easy to do, isn't it? It's there with you all the time, every day. So you see their flaws rather quickly. But you can choose either to harp on those flaws or remember what God had said and either love or be respectful and elevate their. Because everybody has good things they do. And we can either choose to focus on the bad things or the good. And then another thing that is I found really helpful, to remember that no one is perfect. This is, again, from Love and Respect. And they need time to change. Your husband is not going to be perfectly loving, and your wife is not going to be perfectly respectful the first time they are confronted about it and asked about it. See, when you have that communication, sometimes we get the mindset of, okay, I talked to him about it. They got it. Now they're going to do it perfectly. But that's not the case. We got to remember they're just as human as you are. And I can promise you that I'm not as loving to my wife as I'm supposed to be, but I should be better than I was today, tomorrow. And she should be more respectful and better supportive than she was today, tomorrow. And that's how we should be. But this is not only applied to married. How many teenagers are in here? Okay. So I know some of you all might be sitting here as like, awesome. That is so good. What does that have to do with me? I am nowhere near being married. Well, how many of you like basketball? Who knows of basketball players? Okay. Who likes baseball? Any sports. There we go. Well, I know you might not like basketball, but I personally love basketball. Me, my dad, and my brother would play in the summer for hours, until the sun would go down. And even then, we'd finish a game in the dark. And I grew up watching a little bit of the NBA. I know it's not everybody's favorite, but there's a basketball player called Steph Curry. Some of you know him, some of you don't. He might be the best shooter that's ever entered into the NBA. He can shoot from wherever he wants, whenever he wants. And if you leave him open, it's in. It doesn't matter. But how many of you think he just walked into the NBA and decided, you know what? I'm just going to be the best shooter in the NBA. It took practice. Thousands of shots as a kid. Thousands missed. Thousands made. And thousands again. He didn't quit the first time he missed a shot and said, you know what? It's not worth it. I'm not going to keep shooting. There's no reason to practice. I'm never going to be any good. And neither did when he get to the NBA being saying, I have arrived. I don't need to practice basketball ever again. He saw room for improvement every day. He practices still every day. Why is it when we come to relationships and marriage that we don't do the same? We forget, as once we're married, that we need to practice being respectful, practice being loving and caring. You need to practice sacrificing yourself to others. And this is where it really would help you teenagers, is to practice sacrificing. Try to practice respect and love. Because the more you practice, when you get to be, find somebody and get to be a spouse, then you've already worked and worked and worked. And so you can be closer to the spouse that God has you to be. But and also I'd encourage you, those that are married, don't just stop practicing loving, respectful, and sacrificial. God's model for marriage is to be is sacrifice. Unfortunately, though, some of us see marriage as a goal once attained that requires no more maintenance, rather than a checkpoint that needs to be continued on. I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago. There's some tastes, things I like less, and there's some things I like more that I didn't used to like. Well, your spouse is the same way. A lot of you can say, I wasn't the same person 5 years ago. Well, if you're never communicating and you're never trying to learn, because whenever you're dating, it was fine. You brought her flowers. She made you brownies. You figured out what annoyed her. And did it on purpose sometimes, but mostly didn't do it on purpose. You figured out what he liked, what smells he liked, what things he enjoyed, when you brought him food, when you helped him with his homework, when you gave her attention and spent time with her. You learned the things that pleased each other. Once it gets to marriage, it's no different. You continuously working on that, you keep going. You don't just stop. I'd like to end you with this. Adults, God's plan for marriage is to live sacrificially for each other. It's not hard to understand. It's hard to execute. Life is messy. We are flawed. That we make mistakes and are naturally bent to serve ourselves and not others. But when we stay in God's word and see what he has to say about our spouse and try to live according to the self-sacrificing way that God has set up for marriage, then a lot of heartache can be avoided. We have to remember that we are at war with the world, our flesh, and the devil, and the battleground of the family is no different. Marriage is war and combat, not with each other head to head, but rather side by side, protecting each other, protecting each other's blind spots to ward off evil, to take care of each other's weaknesses and to help strengthen them in areas and build each other up and support each other. You're not meant to do this alone, but you also can't fight each other. God has a specific plan for you, and it has a specific plan for your marriage, and it's written right here. Like I said, it's easy to say, It's so hard to execute. And it takes a lifetime to master. So as I just encourage you with that tonight, to live sacrificially. Lord God, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for this time in your word, Lord. I thank you for this time to hear from you, God. I just ask that you bless tonight, Lord. I just ask that you help people to respond as you'd want to have them respond, God, and to call out to you when they need to call out, God. I thank you for this time, Lord. I just ask that you bless this invitation, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.